Finally, it's Friday night. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We are heading into the final days of the primary, and it seems as though some people are still confused as to what a primary season is all about. This is when the when voters turn up to decide which candidates are going to represent them on the ballot for the general election. So this is the part of the election season when you go in, you tell them which ballot you want to pick. At least in Illinois, I know it works differently in other parts of the country, but in this primary, you go in, you walk into the polling place, they ask you if you want a Democrat ballot or a Republican ballot, and then you have choices on those ballots who will then be in the general election. I feel like this is important because a lot of people think, didn't I already vote? Or this is so much noise. Why are there so many candidates? And I have to tell you, there's an important number to remember, which is that 16%, only 16% of registered voters in the state of Illinois showed up at the primaries in 2014. And of that, about they estimate about 3 to 5% of them chose Governor Rauner to be at the top of the ticket for the Republican Party. So ultimately, 3 to 5% of registered voters decided that Rauner would be the candidate in the Republican primary and then the general election. So I think that that's an important number to remember because right now you have the opportunity to participate and decide who you think should be the candidates who go head to head. Should it be Kennedy, Pritzker, Biss? Should it be Ives or Rauner? And this is for, again, the top seat in the state of Illinois. And joining us is one of those candidates. Senator Daniel Biss joins us on the line. Hey, Senator, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. And, you know, if folks are looking for advice about whether it should be Biss, Pritzker, or Kennedy, I'm happy to help.
I would imagine that you would be. I am curious as to, you know, there's a lot of back and forth. And I watched the debate on Channel 11 the other night. It was nice to see the three of you on the stage, though. Well, in contrast to the one where there were seven or eight of you, and it was kind of, the rhythm wasn't as good. I thought there was, look, I know that there was some talking over each other. The Sun-Times piece had just come out on J.B. Pritzker. And that's something that I think has been sort of leading this race is, and primarily you, I would say, you know, this is that are we yet tired of having billionaires and millionaires run our state, taking advantage of things? But I think a lot of people want to know, okay, fine, we get it. We get that the Kennedy and Pritzker are rich, but what do you have to offer to the people of Illinois to improve their lives?
Well, and thank you for asking. And that's kind of why I said, oh God, when you mentioned the debate, I think the debate went really well and I was very pleased to win it. But ultimately we've got to talk about how to fix this state. And our state is hurting. It's hurting from a broken tax system that was designed two generations ago for an economy we don't have any longer. That's why we're overtaxing the middle class. That's why we're overtaxing the poor. That's why we don't ask the rich to pay their share. Our school funding system is profoundly broken, punishing children in poor neighborhoods and leaving economic and educational opportunity totally unequal. We have a system where healthcare is readily available for some and not others, where human services are readily available for some and not others, and frankly, where, in general, if you're born wealthy or connected, you'll probably wind up doing better and better, and the rest of us are left further and further behind. That's what we have to transform in the state of Illinois.
And I think one of the things that sort of jumps out to everybody, there are only two candidates running for governor right now that have legislative experience in the state of Illinois who have served as public servants, and that is you and Representative Jeannie Ives. I mean, Governor Rauner now having served in the executive office, but he came to it without any prior public service sort of experience. Why is that significant, do you think?
Well, you know, look at our president, look at our current governor. These two guys are failures. They are rich, inexperienced businessmen who say, listen, I know I don't get anything about government. I know I have no relevant experience. But trust me, I'll fix it for you because I'm successful and wealthy and good at being a businessman. And we now see how poorly that works, and it shouldn't surprise anybody because, hey, government's complicated. There's a whole thicket of relationships and systems and procedures you have to know, and that comes with time. That comes with experience. That comes with trying things and seeing what works and seeing what doesn't. And unfortunately, the other two candidates for the Democratic nomination for governor have that exact same problem, that complete lack of experience, that complete lack of understanding what it takes to make government work. And here's the bad news, Patty. Our state's in real trouble. We've got a lot to accomplish. We better accomplish it quickly. I don't think we can afford to have a governor who's going to take office in January of 2019 and then spend half a year just kind of learning on the job.
Well, How has that played out with Governor Rauner coming into office? I mean, I guess the ultimate example is that we had no budget for several years. So let me move on to the next question, which is because of that impasse of not having a budget, the state operated and paid out money without being able to figure out how we were going to support that. How do we catch up now? We are billions and billions of dollars behind on that. What is your plan if you become governor to set the state back on track?
Well, let us not pretend for a second that it's going to be easy. I mean, Bruce Rauner really screwed things up in a serious way, and we're going to be digging our way out of it for quite some time. And unfortunately, there were some fairly seriously screwed up things in Illinois, not just for these last 3 years, but for many decades before that, and we're going to be digging out of that for some time, too. But if we want to do it, we need to have a tax system that's designed for a modern economy, not one that overtaxes the middle class like we do now. Not one that overtaxes the poor like we do now, but one that asks the wealthy, which is honestly where the money is these days, to pay their share. That means repeal the flat tax provision of the Constitution so we can have a fair income tax like most of our neighbors do. And that means start to tax the part of the economy that's grown. Tax financial transactions at the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange. Close the so-called carried interest Bruce Rauner tax loophole. These are fundamental differences between myself and my opponents who basically say they want to protect their rich friends who don't want to pay their fair share in taxes and therefore continue to overburden the rest of us.
Having served in the Senate, though, do you get the sense that you would have the will of the legislature to do that? Will the General Assembly go along with that, going into our Constitution and changing the way we tax residents?
I think we have to. You know, we have this very unusual feature of our Constitution that has led straight to a system that punishes the middle class. And that's one that only three other states have. And we've got to change it. And for decades, most people have acknowledged we probably should change it, but they've said, you know, it takes too many votes, it's too hard, it takes too much time to fix it, we'll do something else instead. And as a result, the state has continued to hurt, and people have continued to leave, and our budgets have continued to fail, and our schools have continued to be improperly funded. I'm running because I understand what's possible and what's impossible right now, and I also understand from my experience actually getting things done in the legislature what it takes to change what's possible. If we want Illinois to succeed, we can't just accept that all we can do is what we've done before. Instead, we've got to organize people to change what's possible and do what's right.
So, Senator, how much has this, would you say, this campaigning for the governor's office changed you? I mean, you've gone around the state. You've talked to people from all reaches because until now you have represented Skokie, Evanston. And that doesn't mean that you haven't talked to constituents from other parts of the state. But what have you learned having traveled around the state of Illinois?
Well, listen, it's an honor of a lifetime, Patty. You meet so many people and you learn from so many people, and there's such incredible diversity of experiences, you know, from being on stage with a dissident feminist punk band one night and then hanging out in a VFW hall the next night. But here's the thing that I think is really powerful. What every candidate will tell you about running in a big jurisdiction like this is how united people are when you get down to it, that we feel divided, that it's easy to drive wedges between people, but actually when you sit down in someone's kitchen, whether you're doing it in the Loop in Chicago or in Cairo or in Quincy, people tend to have pretty similar concerns. They see an unfair system that's benefiting someone at most of our expense. They want to know that their kids will have access to good schools and good jobs and safe streets. And that kind of unites people. I think you'd hear that from every single candidate, whether it's me or the Republicans or the other Democrats or what. What I have found most striking, though, is kind of layered on top of that, which I think is the unique feature of life in 2018, and that is that folks not only have fairly common goals and desires, but people are ready right now to stand up and fight for it. People understand that there's not going to be some hero who's going to ride in on a white horse to solve our problems for us. People understand we've got to rise up together and solve them ourselves. If you look at what young people are doing in the wake of the Parkland nightmare, that to me is the perfect example of what life was like in Illinois in 2018. People all over the state, for the first time in some cases, standing up and choosing to be a part of making things better. And my God, that's inspiring.
We are talking to Senator Daniel Biss. You're welcome to join us if you have a question or a comment. 312-981-7200. We'll continue our conversation in just a moment. And again, you're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. live in Illinois, you certainly know that we are in the last few days, the heated battle of the primary. If you didn't know, it was just the primary. It's just the primary, folks. Imagine what it's going to be like in the next 7 months or so. I don't even know. When do we have the general election? Is that all the way in November, Senator Biss?
It is all the way in November.
Goodness gracious. So Senator Biss joins us on the line. He is one of the top three now polling, at least for the top of the ticket in the Democratic Party. And there's been a lot of back and forth between the three of you, and obviously the other candidates as well. There have been some, you know, good conversation. I always think that the best part of the primary is that you get a lot of the issues out in the open and talk about things, and then you're able to kind of whittle it down later. I am curious about, you know, what has it been like for your family to have you running for office? Maybe, you know, the fact that they're in the ads or mailers that come to your house attacking you. What has it been like for you and your family, Senator Biss?
Well, I mean, I don't know, Patty. I mean, I suppose I should give you some politically correct answer, but the truth is it's really hard. You know, I've got an 8-year-old and a 9-year-old, second and fourth grader at home, and I'm away more than I would like and more than they would like, and we miss each other a lot. And, you know, when the nasty mailers came, you know, to our house, it bothered them a little bit, though, you know, I helped explain to them why that was happening. But I think back all the time to a conversation that we had in December of 2016, before I really made up my mind about whether I wanted to run, but I wanted to have a discussion with my family about it. And we just sat down at the kitchen table and talked about it and made a list of different reasons why it might be a good idea or a bad idea. And ultimately, the thing that most stuck with me was something that my older child, Elliot, said. And that was that it's important to try, that it's important to do your best to actually help make things better when you see an opportunity to help people who are hurting. And as challenging as this has been for our family, I really, really feel that it's an incredibly important part of my job as a parent to show my children how important it is to try and what it means to throw everything you have into something that you think really, really matters.
I was curious about one moment in the campaign when we talk about our families, and I've, you know, in the past I've considered, you know, should I run for office? And I don't know what that would be like for me personally, much less my kids. But
the answer, by the way, is you should.
Go ahead. I would have a really hard time, Senator, and we've known each other for years, but I would have a really hard time if somebody had a press conference in front of my house in order to draw attention to the way I live. And that might just be because I'm a slob, but if it was because I'm rich, that would also be sort of disconcerting. What were your thoughts when you had that press conference in front of J.B. Pritzker's house and drawing attention to where he lives, where his family is?
Well, the sad thing about this race is that his home has become itself an issue because of the really unconscionable way that he scammed the property tax system. And for folks who don't know, it's pretty incredible. He actually had the toilets disconnected in the mansion that he owns that's next door to the mansion that they live in. And by virtue of disconnecting the toilets, he was able to have it classified as uninhabitable. And he saved like $230,000 in property taxes. And those are $230,000, Patty, that you had to pay and I had to pay and every other person listening to this show tonight had to pay as long as they live in Cook County. And that's just not right. And I think that we're now in this race where everybody running says that we want to fix a broken system. Everybody running says we know that the rich aren't paying their share and that's why middle-class families like mine are paying too much. And ultimately, the question that voters are going to have to answer on Tuesday is, who do you trust? Who do you actually believe means it when they say that they think we need to change the system, that the rich have been scamming at the expense of the rest of us? And unfortunately, J.B. Pritzker's behavior of scamming that system at the rest of us brings a lot of questions. And so we had a press conference across the street from his house. It was a public place, a public sidewalk, and certainly would never invade his privacy or trespass or anything like that. But felt that being there to talk about something that really matters for every single voter, at least in Cook County, was something we had to do to have the conversation that I think the voters need to hear.
Well, I will play this for Griffin because, as you know, my son Griffin, who you've met in Springfield and met before, he was yelling at the TV when you were talking about this particular issue about the rich taking advantage of the tax system. And Griffin was yelling, he's like, well, go after the tax system. Because, you know, what Griffin was saying is that that's the way they're using it to their advantage because it's legal. And that's something, but that sounds as though that's what you're saying is fix the system. It does seem a little bit as though going after the individual is, I guess you're saying that he could protect himself and continue to benefit from that. Is that your point on that?
Well, actually, let me give you an example, Patty. I have never appealed my property taxes on my home. And let me tell you why. Our property taxes are a big deal for us. Unlike J.B. Pritzker, my property taxes actually matter in my life. I pay more than 10% of our annual household income in property tax. But I also know that our broken, gross property tax system has kind of a sleazebag politician discount, where politicians appeal their taxes, they're likely to get an unfair discount because insiders get an unfair discount. I just didn't want to be a part of that. That would have been legal. No one could have ever said anything illegal, but I knew it wasn't right. And I think the question that we ought to ask when we're trying to figure out who should be our governor isn't who knows how to tiptoe on the edge of the law and just barely never get arrested. The question ought to be who knows how to do what's right. Because in a governor, what you need is someone who knows what's right and therefore helps make laws that reflect what's right. And I think what J.B. Pritzker did with his toilets is not right. And I agree that it's legal. I don't ever suggest for one second that it's not legal, but it doesn't make it right. And I think the standard for a governor is, do you do the right thing, not have you been thrown in jail yet?
Yikes. That's an interesting way to put it. I had so many more questions, but we are pressed for time, and I appreciate you joining us. I know you've got a lot of work to do. We look forward to talking to you again soon and see how things turn out. By the way, everybody, primary day is on Tuesday. You can vote early. You can still register to vote. I know one of our young listeners, Jasmine, is registering on Monday. She's 18 years old, and she'll be voting for the very first time. So she was listening,
awesome.
And I thank you for your thoughts, Senator. Have a wonderful weekend, okay?
Hey, thanks so much, Patty. It's great hearing your voice, and let's talk soon.
Sounds good. More after this on 720 WGN. Lisa Madigan has been the Attorney General for the state of Illinois, and many people have thought, well, that seems a little bit too cozy, considering her dad is the Speaker of the House and one of the most powerful Democrats in the country, at least at the state level. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and we are live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I think the AP Press does a really good write-up saying that the race for Illinois Attorney General has become a battle of who, in a crowded field of candidates, is most politically and financially independent. Among the candidates facing off, we have state legislators, a police reform leader, a mayor, attorneys, and a one-time Miss America. And one of those attorneys, and you may know him from CNN and MSNBC, we have Renato Mariotti in studio with us. And last time you were here, you were not a candidate, sir.
That's true.
So much has changed. I feel like you were just here a couple weeks ago, and then I'm watching you in debates, and I thought that you did an interesting, an excellent job. I thought that all the candidates did a good job in that debate on WTTW. There were a lot of you. How many on stage were there? Eight?
Eight.
Eight. Okay. So what does distinguish you from the other candidates? And in particular, the concern about the ability to distance yourself from corruption or to have a laser focus on what's wrong with the state of Illinois.
Well, I think there's a couple things that distinguish me. One, I think, as you point out, I am about as independent as it gets. I am not beholden to anybody. I'm not an elected politician. I'm not an insider. I've never even had a conversation with Rahm Emanuel or Michael Madigan or any of the other bigwigs in the state. I have a different kind of experience, an experience trying cases, investigating crime, doing the sort of things that you'd want your lawyer to do. I also am running a campaign that I think demonstrates that independence as well. I have far more individual donors than anyone else in this race, and my average contribution size is under $100. I don't take any special interest money. I haven't taken any PAC money. I'm taking money from individuals, and I think that is what an attorney general should be, somebody who's truly independent and not beholden to anyone.
And I'll ask you the same question that I asked Senator Biss, which is you've gone around the state of Illinois. Had you had experience traveling to different towns, learning what their needs are, what their concerns are, and what their understanding is of the attorney general's office?
You know, I did, but not to the extent that I did during this race. I've spent a lot of time downstate, I probably more than any other candidate. Partly that is a strength of mine in terms of my support. I've went all the way to the southern tip of the state. I've been to Carbondale and I've been to Charleston and Galesburg and, you know, Rock Island and Rockford and Decatur and all sorts of places. And I'll tell you, I have learned a lot about the state, and I really learned about the sorry state that we're in and how much people are suffering. I think the fiscal crisis that we have is creating problems that I, to an extent, I didn't even realize, like nursing homes without getting their bills paid, mental health facilities not getting their bills paid, workers who hadn't gotten the wages that they were promised many years ago. I mean, it's very serious, and our state's in a very bad spot.
And what can the Attorney General do to fix that? What does the Attorney General's office power have anything to do with paying nursing homes on time or making sure people get their wages?
Well, one thing I think we can do is hold the legislature, up to the right standard and keep them honest. I mean, one thing, the last time we had pension reform, we had a bill that came out of the legislature that was plainly unconstitutional on its face. It was so unconstitutional that the legislature wrote out the judicial pensions from the bill. And a lot of people speculated it was unconstitutional, including some of the legislators. Attorney General Madigan, and I respect her, I think she's generally did a good job, she defended that that bill all the way up to the Supreme Court and litigated it very fiercely, spent a lot of resources. And on the other end, the unions had to spend millions of dollars defending it. And I think that was wrong. Ultimately, as Attorney General, what I would have done is I would have told the legislature that bill was unconstitutional and forced them, instead of kicking the can down the road, which is what they'd done, I would have forced them to produce something that met the requirements of the Constitution.
There's a lot that has gone wrong, and you mentioned the pensions. We talked to Senator Biss, and that was one of the questions I didn't have a chance to ask about how that was. The legislation that they had drawn up was eventually considered to be unconstitutional, and he mentioned changing the Constitution as far as how we have our taxes. Is that something you've thought about, whether or not we have the ability and the wherewithal to get into the Constitution, twisting is not the right word, but fundamentally change the way we tax people in the state of Illinois?
I think we have to. Big part of my focus as Attorney General will be fighting for economic justice. I come from nothing. My parents both worked two jobs to put me through school. My dad's a cashier at Walmart. I wanted to fight for working people. And part of that, I think, is having a tax system that's more fair. And so I agree with him there. Obviously, the Attorney General's role is not passing legislation, but I publicly support a constitutional amendment for a progressive income tax.
Well, people will wonder, what is the job of the Attorney General?
The job of the Attorney General is to be the lawyer for people, particularly people who can't afford a lawyer. So if you are defrauded, the Attorney General should be there bringing a lawsuit on your behalf. If our air or water is being polluted, the Attorney General brings a lawsuit on your behalf. And if a pharmaceutical company is putting out a product that is dangerous, the Attorney General should be there bringing suit as well.
Are you familiar with the story about how Foxconn is planning to use millions of gallons of water every single day, which will draw on Lake Michigan? Is that something that would fall under the Attorney General's office?
I think that is also something that the Attorney
every single day, millions of gallons of water.
Yeah. I mean, look, the Attorney General's office is the primary environmental enforcer in the state, and it has responsibility to enforce the laws that govern our waterways. So, yeah, that would definitely be part of the Attorney General's job. And frankly, we also saw there was a story recently about toxic chromium being leached into Lake Michigan, and nothing was done about it until it was discovered by the University of Chicago Environmental Law Clinic. And, you know, bless them for doing that work, but really we need to have that work done by the government.
We are talking to Renato Mariotti. He is running for Attorney General for Illinois, and your primary date is next Tuesday, March 20th, if you live in the state of Illinois. I know that you guys are so ready for this to all be over, but this is your opportunity. You know, we often talk, we have our gripes, we have our complaints, we have our thoughts on this. This is your opportunity to talk to a candidate who's running for Attorney General if you have any questions or comments. 312-981-7200. More in a moment on 720 WGN. Tuesday, March 20th is the day to vote in the primaries for a lot of different offices throughout the state of Illinois. If you live in Cook County, there are, by the way, Elliot Serrano joins us in studio. Elliot, my husband wrote me in for water reclamation, and I found out that that's not going to count. I'm not gonna. I won't be your water reclamation.
Why?
Because you have to register. You have to register beforehand.
Oh, so wait. So in other words, all those votes for Mickey Mouse that people always write don't count either.
They don't count either. Is that correct? Is that correct, Renato Mariotti?
That sounds correct.
So we'll have to figure that out for some other time.
Although, come on, Donald Duck for water reclamation. I mean, he's a duck.
That would be very funny. Yeah. Well. Technically and actually running for Attorney General, Renato Mariotti joins us in studio. One of the questions that came up during the debate on WTTW was about sexual harassment and whether or not there should be a statute of limitations for sexual harassment. And a lot of answers. Some people said there should be no statute for assault, maybe 5 years. The number isn't as much what bothers me as for the women who've put up with it for decades. There's nothing anybody can do for them, is there? I mean, like, if let's say you're Attorney General and you guys have the ability to change it to 5 years, because right now it's about 6 months or 180 days or something like that. There's nothing that's going to be retroactive, is there?
No.
So now that we're in a place where we can say, because now we're empowered somewhat by each other, nothing can happen for the women who it happened to last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Yeah, it's one of the frustrating things about criminal law is it's not backwards looking. And people who've committed crimes in the past, you can't change the law on them. It's just part of our constitutional structure and how it works. I'll tell you, it's also a frustrating thing on the other side, though. You know, people talk about criminal justice reform. Those reforms generally don't help the people who are already in prison either, unless you specifically write them that way.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Is there anything that the Attorney General has in regards or in relation to the way we prosecute and the defense teams of people, the defendants who maybe can't afford to get a lawyer? Do you operate in that, or is that more of a county situation?
Yeah, that's more done in the county level. I mean, the Attorney General's office is primarily a civil law office, and what I mean by that is that it's the sort of lawsuits where people are suing each other, whether it's for money or to stop them from being polluted or something like that, as opposed to indicting people. The Attorney General's office does have a role there, but it's not as big as you think.
One of the candidates in the debate said that one of the ways they would seek to generate revenue from the Attorney General's office was to more aggressively prosecute cases like that. Was that? I can't remember if that was you or not.
I know. There's so many candidates. That's part of the issue in a race.
So what kind of cases would you be able to more aggressively prosecute charge?
Well, I think one group of entities that I think we have to take a closer look at are the opioid manufacturers. I lost a family member to opioids last year. I think there's unfortunately a lot of people around Illinois who have, and there are products that are being marketed that are highly addictive and aren't as effective as other products that have been on the market for longer. And so I think that's an area where you're ripe to bring suits. And then I think also on the environmental side, you can potentially bring large suits against agribusiness. And financial institutions are another area where people are getting cheated, where the laws aren't being followed, and you need an attorney general to bring that suit.
One of the things that also came up was who's getting money from where. That was in the debate on Channel 11. I thought it was interesting. Governor Quinn said he would go. I mean, former Governor Quinn said he would go after the red light cameras. That was like one of the ones. But that seems like just revenue from the city of Chicago. I'm not sure how much is there. But are there people who are running for attorney general, perhaps getting revenue, getting some of their financing from companies that maybe it would impede their or have an influence on what they decided to go after?
Sure. I mean, look, four of my opponents have taken big money from the utilities, tens of thousands of dollars. One of them's running an ad saying that she'll be tough on the utility companies. I mean, do you really think you're going to be tough on the utility companies when they're paying for the advertisements that say that? It's absolutely ridiculous. And that's what we have in this race. But the ads don't say at the bottom, paid for by ComEd or paid for by Exelon. And so no one really sees that, but unfortunately, Kwame Raoul, Jesse Ruiz, Nancy Rotering, the Republican, Erica Harold, all took a lot of money from the utilities, and ultimately, I can't believe that they're going to be as aggressive against the utilities as we need them to be in office.
I know that there are people who wonder, like, what about some of the cases where, there is... I'm waiting for this listener to. They have a question. That's why I'm trying to jump ahead to this question right here. But they haven't finished asking the question to my call screener. One of the things that came up, and you have talked about this not just during this campaign, but prior to it, is the relationship the state of Illinois has with the federal level, and the things that Donald Trump has been trying to do as a president from the president's office. What are some of the things that you want people to know about your role in regards to the federal laws.
Yeah, I think it is very important to have an attorney general who's going to be on the front lines against the Trump administration. They're violating our constitutional rights. And I am the only candidate in this race that has a plan for what I will do against the Trump administration. I've published a 12-page plan. And there's a number of things. First of all, the Dreamers are probably going to be getting deported in the upcoming year. We can bring a due process lawsuit there. We can stop the Trump administration when they're using our state and local resources for immigration crimes. We can stop them when they're discriminating against transgender people in Illinois. We can help save our public sector unions that are going to be really harmed by a decision coming up. We also can defend consumers from financial institutions now that the Consumer Protection Bureau is not doing its job under Donald Trump. There's a lot that an attorney general could be doing. Our job's a lot harder now that Donald Trump is not only not doing his job, but is actually waging war amongst some of our people here in Illinois.
I know that we have a listener on hold. We're going to take a break and then come back and take John's call. For those of you who are like, I like what the president's doing, well, that's why you'll probably be pulling a ballot that's for a Republican. And and Renato Mariotti is running on the Democrat ticket. So that would probably, you don't have to worry about it. More after this on 720 WGN. Coming up after the news, our friends from Tullamore Dew are going to share some Irish toasts with us. And before we toast our guest, Renato Mariotti, and wish him luck in all of his endeavors, I wanted to know, what do you want people to know before you go about your candidacy for Attorney General of Illinois?
Look, the Attorney General's office only opens up once every 16 years, it seems like. And it's really,
is that
right?
Average?
In this state. And look, it's a really important job that's going to have a major impact on your life. It is up to you to make a good decision. And your vote matters. We just saw in Pennsylvania how an election was decided by less than 1,000 votes. Every vote matters. So take your time and take a close look at this race. Take a look at my candidacy, RenatoMariotti.com. You can find out about all my positions, my plan to stop Donald Trump, and also about the kind of race that I'm running.
And where are you going to be on election night, on primary night, I guess?
Well, we've got it at a party to private residence. So our supporters, sign up for our email list, and you can RSVP and be part of it. You can meet my dog, Bear, who's been our biggest fundraiser.
Aww, that's great. All right. Well, thank you so much. And again, best of luck in your endeavors. And we look forward to having you back on the show in whatever capacity.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. It is time now for our news. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago. If you have a smart speaker, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Your news here with Rob Martyr. The great thing about St. Patrick's Day falling on a Saturday is that Chicagoans don't bother waiting until the actual St. Patrick's Day. All the neighborhood St. Patrick's Day parades were last weekend. Tomorrow is the big Chicago St. Patty's Day parade. Elliot Serrano joins me in studio. You know, Elliot, I was supposed to ride on the WGN-TV float for the St. Patrick's Day parade, but I heard that the weather's not going to be great. So I'm going to go ahead and let that roll without me.
But you're all in green and everything.
I just got this dress in the mail, and I knew that we were going to have the global ambassador for Tullamore Dew in the studio, and I might have done it up a bit much. I got green in my hair too. Did you see that? I kind of combined Frida Kahlo with some of my Irish heritage as well. John Quinn joins us in studio, and first let me tell the audience, congratulations to you and your family on another baby. What's the baby's name?
The baby's name is Jack.
Jack
was born today out in Arlington Heights direction in Northwest Community Hospital.
Well, don't tell us the room numbers.
I won't do that. But my daughter Rachel and her husband Porrick are delighted to have been named just Jack Chicago. Yeah, exactly.
That's wonderful. What great. A great way to spend your week, because I know it's got to be busy for you during St. Patrick's Day week.
It is. And I'd have to admit, actually, his middle name is Patrick.
Jack Patrick.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a busy week. Yeah, it is, Patty. It's a big week. You can imagine.
Yes.
We do a lot of trade auditing.
Okay.
Trade auditing would be better known as a pub crawl.
Okay.
When you're paying for it yourself, it's a pub crawl. When your company is paying for you to do it, it's a trade audit.
Sure. Yeah, I'll do the work, and then I'll show up and have
exactly.
the benefits of that.
No, that's great, because we're visiting all the various different bars, neighborhood bars, different kind of places. Tomorrow's the big day for us, though, where I really spend a lot of time visiting and making sure that I, you know, wave to bartenders and probably share a drink with them and, you know, have a Tully Dew somewhere.
Give your blessing to what they're doing.
Well, pretty much, yeah.
Yes.
I, won't be dipping my finger in it and doing what the Pope does, but that'll be an awful waste.
I think you should. Well, you know, just maybe iced tea and pretend like it's your bottle of Tullamore Dew.
I know, I'm having the Tullamore Dew. If I'm having anything, I'm not going to skip the iced tea.
How would you explain the difference, or how would you distinguish Tullamore Dew from other Irish whiskies? What makes it so unique?
Yeah, so it is actually a unique whiskey. You know, a lot of whiskies will say that, but it's actually unique, and it's complex in the way that it's made. As simply as I can put it, Patty, it's a triple distilled whiskey, but within the bottle there are three different styles of whiskey. We call them grain whiskies, malt, single malt, and single pot still.
Mm-hmm.
And in our maturation, we are using three styles of casks: ex-bourbon casks, ex-Irish whiskey casks, and ex-sherry casks. So what we have is three styles of whiskey being matured in three different styles of cask, and all of them are triple distilled. So we call it the power of three. Do you know how hard it is for an Irishman to say three and not say tree?
Tree.
Exactly. So I have to say triple distilled, three types of cask, it's the power of three.
I find it hard. If anyone's correcting you, John, send them my way, because I will hurt them. There's no reason.
I kind of like people to correct me. Just the ones, though.
Just
leave it with me after that.
Just the ones. Yeah, yeah. What draws Irish? What makes whiskey such a big part of Irish tradition?
Well, actually, you know, it's hard to believe this, but maybe it's not. But actually, whiskey was invented in Ireland, so it has actually got roots in Ireland. I mean, there are many Scottish whiskey historians who will tell you that actually the secret of medicinal distillation was brought from Ireland into Scotland in the early sort of 1400s, probably. Ooh. It's when the first mention of it are. So even the Scots will admit that we invented it. So it is part of our DNA. And I mean, I don't want you to think that every Irish person going around having whiskey for breakfast. That doesn't happen, actually.
No.
It's a nice little rumour.
It's Guinness. I'm kidding. I'm teasing you.
Neither. But it is certainly part of our sense of our identity. We have our own language. We have our own music. We have our own whiskey. You know, so there's a whole lot of reasons why it would be part of what we are. And we're very proud of it. Obviously, I'm very proud of it. I would be. But it's gaining a really good quality reputation around the world at the moment, especially in Chicago.
Yes.
Oh God, yeah. And so it is really something we're very proud of and part of what we are.
And I think that people are starting to be better. Well, maybe it's just the kids. It's still like the 21 to 30-year-olds who are still doing shots. But tell people why it's important to just sip and enjoy and sort of ruminate over it.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad you asked me that question. I have been trying to get this point across to so many people. So somebody takes a specific type of grain, like a barley or a malted barley, mashes it in wonderful, clear, crystal Mountain Dew water, and then decides to extract all the starches from it, ferments it with yeast over 72 hours, 3 days in a mash tun, and then sends it for triple distillation, after which this magnificent pure spirit is put into wooden casks and laid down in dark aromatic warehouses to mature for years. And somebody wants to shoot it? Are you joking me? Oh no, you should breastfeed this bottle for a few hours before you pour any of it, and then sip it.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes.
So I'm like the local parish priest.
Yes.
Telling people what to do and what not to do. It sounds awful, but I really want people to stop shooting whiskey. And by the way, I've done the odd shot myself.
Sure, an odd shot, yeah. If you're in a hurry.
Well,
right, and you want to fish it.
There are times when people say, okay, I'll do a shot and I'll join in. But then at the end I say, okay, we're not doing that again. You're all going to watch me from now on. And we're going to sip it and enjoy it. And we're going to hold it on our tongue. We're going to close our eyes. And we're going to think of the green fields of Ireland or whatever.
Yes, I agree with that.
Mm.
I've learned to enjoy both whiskey and bourbon. My husband's more of a rye whiskey. That's not something that the Irish whiskey is like.
It's interesting because rye is the base grain that you'll use to make a rye whiskey. And in the Irish tradition, traditionally, many years ago, hundreds of years ago, we were discovering that some of the old mash bills, what we call mash bills, in other words, the recipe of grains would have included rye in it. So there's a movement now to reconsider rye as an option for distillation in Irish whiskey in the future. At the moment, it's really not done. But as we develop as an industry and as more distilleries start to experiment with different things, rye is going to get a hearing. There's no doubt about it. Will it take over from malted barley or unmalted barley, pot still whiskey, a single grain, single malt, blended whiskies? I'm not sure, but it's going to be in there.
Yeah. We are talking to John Quinn. He's the global ambassador for Am I saying Tullamore Dew correctly?
Tullamore Dew is perfect. There are many ways to say it, and you're saying it perfectly.
Oh, okay. I'd like to take that one. Do you have a preference for when Tullamore Dew is used in a mixer, or do you think it's best to be, as we said, savoured on its own?
No, as long as people are drinking my whiskey, I don't care. Oh, no, I shouldn't say that. I don't want them to do shots. But no, for me, I will drink my whiskey usually with 2 cubes of ice.
Really?
It's hard to get in America. It's very hard to get
two cubes.
Very hard, because everybody fills my glass with ice and then puts the whiskey in. I was like, oh, actually, I just wanted 2 cubes. So it's hard to get that. In Ireland, sometimes it's hard to get ice. So
sure.
It's the other way around.
You can't win.
No, but in fact, I'm winning all the time because people are so kind to me and so nice to me, etc. But I like it. Just with a little ice. If I'm drinking an older whiskey or a single malt, I'm going to add a little water, just water, no ice. But then after that, people will put Tullamore Dew in freshly squeezed apple juice, and Tullamore Dew is amazing.
Really?
Oh, it's absolutely a stunning serve.
That sounds like something.
I've never considered that combination.
Yeah, no. Yeah. No, not many people have.
I am really enjoying watching Eric Elk just hover over the 2 bottles of sealed Tullamore Dew at the end of the counter. He's like, why are these not? I know.
He's breastfeeding them.
It's Sober Friday in the Allstate Showcase studio. I know it seems strange, but there it is. Yeah. Before we go to a break, because I think I need to do 2 segments with you. I know we're getting a couple calls. What would you say, if we're just doing a toast to, in general, for St. Patrick's Day? Because I don't know if you've ever heard this one, because someone told me this was an Irish toast, John. And I need, as somebody who has probably done more studying on this, a friend of mine named Jacob said this was an Irish toast. He said, here's to the fire. Not the fire that brings down shacks and shanties, but the fire that brings down pants and panties. That sounds a little too dirty to be an Irish cheer.
Oh, my God, they're much dirtier ones than
really?
That. Oh, my God, that's clean.
Have you ever heard that
I
one?
Heard it last night.
Get out of here.
For the first time I heard it last night, I said, where did that come from?
I feel like I've been spreading this one in Chicago myself, because my friend Jacob.
You're doing a good job. There are lots of toasts. I tend not to use those ones myself, but all the younger guys are using the toasts that are a little bit risque. Sure, it's great fun. Absolutely
it is.
Great fun.
What's one of your favorites?
So I have a couple. So one I always do for St. Patrick's Day, that's sort of this, if I'm doing the first one, I'll say it in the Irish language, and it's very easy to follow, but it doesn't sound Irish. And the toast is schlucht schlacht, or schlucht vor schlachta. And what the hell does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean, John?
What it means is, may your children's children have lots of children. And there's a belief in Ireland that the more children you have, the richer you will be. How wrong is that? How wrong is that? Oh, my God.
We are hanging out with John Quinn. He is a global ambassador for Tullamore Dew. And tomorrow, right now it's St. Patrick's Day. So let's find out some more toasts when we come back. Yes, Dave, we have to go one more segment before we start talking about politics. If it's between talking politics and talking to our friend John Quinn, I think I'm going to go with John Quinn. More after this on 720 WGN. Plus, we have a question from Jamie on the hold. So let's go to him when we come back. That's right. We are celebrating St. Patrick's Day right here in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Elliot Serrano and Eric Elk and Dave Lundy, all looking longingly at the sealed bottles of Tullamore Dew, because we have global ambassador for Tullamore Dew in studio with us, John Quinn. How will you be celebrating, but aside from still just basking in the glow of your new grandson, how will you be celebrating St. Patrick's Day?
So tomorrow morning we're going to have a breakfast in a bar. And then we're going to go for another breakfast in another bar. And then we're going for another breakfast in another bar. But actually, we're doing an interesting thing tomorrow that we wouldn't always do. We're going to be in a bar watching a rugby game.
Oh, That's excellent.
So 9:45 tomorrow morning, Ireland are playing against England in the final of the Six Nations Rugby, which is like the Super Bowl.
Yes.
For us.
I want to be there. Where were you? Can I ask?
So I'm not so 100% sure. It could be Fado, or it could be Kizzy O'Shea's, or it could be one of those. I'm not really 100% sure. The River
or
Roast.
Mulligan's or Vaughan's.
Yeah,
or,
yeah,
yes.
some of those places. And the plan is that we're going to be watching the rugby game for 9:45.
Okay.
And I have to say that there are some people who think I'm going to be moving between bars for that 2 hours. I won't be.
You'll be planted.
I'll be staying in the same bar.
Wapas.
It's against England.
Okay.
They're the Six Nations champions.
Yeah, why would you leave?
Yes, exactly. And we have beaten everybody this year. We've already won the championship, but to get the Grand Slam, we have to beat England tomorrow. So, by God, we're all getting... I mean, I have to... They won't win unless I'm watching.
I agree.
They need me.
You do not move.
They need me.
And nobody else can move from that bar either.
And they'll hear me shouting from Chicago to...
Yes,
to play better.
I imagine they would. Will you be stopping at the Irish American Heritage Center by any chance?
I'm not sure that that's on the list, actually. I don't know
can
that
I add it
is.
For you? I'll be there tomorrow.
Oh, you
that's
will
my,
be.
That's my favorite place because there's it's basically in an old, like a community college that was, I think, then a high school. It's in a big building and every room has something different, whether it's crafts from around the world and pastries, and then there's dancing and music.
Fabulous.
And it's great up on the Northwest side. So if I might
and
recommend.
In fact, last night I did a whiskey masterclass thing out in a place called the Chop Shop. I'm not sure where that is, actually, but at a fantastic bar. But we had about 60 people sit down to a whiskey masterclass given by me, and I met some of the guys who said they came from the Irish American Heritage Society, is that what it's called?
Irish American Heritage Center.
Center, yeah.
Yes.
And they had come from that side of the...
We have to have you there at some point. If I could hijack his car and take you over to to the center. I know that Kathy O'Neill would love to have you on the air.
Great.
We have a listener who's on the roads. Are you on the roads right now, trucking, Jamie?
Oh, yeah. I'm driving up western Ohio, up I-75, and heading up to Lansing, Michigan.
Oh, be safe out there. What do you want to ask our global ambassador for Telemadu?
It's beautiful driving. There's no weather yet, so I'm going to keep my fingers crossed. Okay. Well, first I want to say that Thursday night, before I went to a concert, I did have my shot of Irish whiskey, and as he said, I did sip it. I don't gulp that down, and it's fantastic.
Good man.
Okay, so the first question, what grains all do you use for Irish whiskey?
What grains? Yeah, so we're using malted barley.
Malted
barley and unmalted barley, and we're using maize also. They're the three grains that we're using in the mash bill, what we call the mash bill, which is the recipe that we use at the start.
Right. Okay. And then I don't know if you covered it or not, but what is the malting process?
So to make malt whiskey, what you do is you take the barley and immerse it in water. The barley thinks it's springtime, so it kind of shoots a green shoot. That's malted barley. Once it's germinated, it's called malted barley. So when we're making our whiskey, we have three types of whiskey, but two of the types will involve complete malted barley. So one will be 100% malted barley, and that's called a single malt when we make that. And then the other whiskey we make in a separate process, we're using 50% malted barley and 50% raw barley, where we haven't immersed it in water. So we mill the two together, and that gives us a different kind of whiskey. It's called pot still whiskey. And in the Tullamore Dew blend, we have pot still whiskey with malt whiskey and with grain whiskey, which is a third style. Does that answer?
Okay, and what does the... What does the malting process do for you?
So what
for the barley?
Yeah. So what the malting process does is it germinates this extra green shoot. That extra green shoot will give us extra flavor, and it helps bring out the starches in the barley. The starches will become the sugars, which when fermented become the alcohol. So in order to get alcohol, we have to get starches out of the grain, out of the barley, and that's helped along by the malting process. So if you understand, if we didn't do that, we wouldn't be able to get what we need from the grain, which is the starches, which convert into sugars, which when we use yeast to ferment those sugars, we get the alcohol. And we produce a beer that way. And actually, for people who don't know, whiskey is distilled beer. So we make a beer first that way, in the way I've described, and then we distill it. Because whiskey is distilled beer in the way that brandy would be distilled wine.
Okay.
A lot of people wouldn't know that.
Okay, and do you need to stop the the malting process, and how do you do that?
Yeah, so the malting process happens through a system of so that the we're using water, and the what we have to do is we chill down the water when the malting has gone far enough. So we stop it and we remove then the barley from the water. Do you understand? So we're taking it out so that the malting will stop.
Excellent.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Jamie.
And,
you have more.
The barrels you use, do you get any of those from the bourbon distillers down in
Kentucky? We certainly do. Absolutely valid question. We certainly do. A lot of our barrels are coming, a huge proportion of our barrels are coming from the ex-bourbon industry. The bourbon guys are great because they can only use the barrels once. So they've got sell them somewhere else. So we buy them from them. So we use them on what we call first fill bourbon, and then we'll use them a second time and fill them a second time. And then we also buy barrels from Jerez in Spain. They're called sherry casks.
Right.
But the big majority of our barrels absolutely come from the wonderful bourbon industry, who are happy to supply them to us.
There you go. It's all great big family. Thank you, Jamie. Have a great St. Patrick's Day.
Bye-bye, Jamie.
Bye, Jamie. Be safe out there. And John, now, do you live in Chicago?
I live in Dublin.
You live in Dublin?
Yeah, yeah. But I'm on a bit of a whirlwind tour. The last 2 weeks I've been from, before Chicago, I was in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. Before Milwaukee, I was in Dallas. And before Dallas, I was in Buenos Aires.
What?
Before Buenos Aires, I was in Ljubljana. Before that, I was... anyway, I've been traveling a lot.
You have been traveling a lot.
Yeah, so, well, I'm the global guy. So,
sure.
Yeah, so they wheel me into wherever I'm needed, you know.
Well, thank you for wheeling into our studio.
I know, it's a pleasure.
I love this.
Yeah,
so what do you think about the Chicago Irish in comparison to other places you've visited?
Yeah, they're a bit mad, but that's great. Makes me feel at home.
Yeah.
The Chicago Irish are great. I mean, I walk the streets tonight in Chicago. I'm the least Irish-looking person. Everybody is decked out
in
massive green.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful. And I wasn't. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, I don't look a bit Irish, you know. But it's wonderful. I was up in the Hilton Hotel in the Kitty O'Shea's there. The place is hopping. Hopping.
Isn't it crazy?
Just great.
If they're not wearing green, they're wearing the Mardi Gras green beads. And
yeah, no, that's right. That's part of it. I mean, anything that's green will do fine.
Anything,
you know,
yes.
And it's great. And the people look fantastic because you can see they're so happy. Do you know what I love, Patty? I love that in America, everybody wants to be Irish for at least one day a year. And that makes me feel very proud.
I agree.
You know, and if it was Cinco de Mayo, we'd all want to be Mexican, no?
No, they don't seem to want to do that.
But is a bit.
They don't want to show their green cards. No, they just want to. they just want to have tequila. What was that, Elliot?
I see what you did there.
You see what I did there?
From the green card.
It's a little. I find it's not quite the same thing. It's what they do is they put on the like a poncho and a mustache and a sombrero and I guess it probably comes across the same way to the Irish when.
But
we
I just want a little warning for the Mexican people like yourself with Mexican blood in you. If this Cinco de Mayo starts to get any way successful, we're taking it over. We're going to make it another St. Patrick's Day. You know?
Well, I could not be more thrilled than to have Cinco de Mayo and St. Patrick's Day within months of each other.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah,
it is interesting coming from cultures that do celebrate are so vocal, and it really are they're both more Americanized, you know, sort of traditions than they are in their own homelands.
Here. And I would say to you that I have spent a bit of time up and down visiting places in Latin America. I like it a lot, Latin America. They call me the Latino from Northern Europe.
They probably think that you're like Paul Newman.
But so what I can say to you is that the whole sense of the Irish being, you know, people say they're very warm and friendly and all that, and exactly the same in Latin America. Mm-hmm. Abierto, they say down there, you know, they're open-hearted people, and it's exactly how I feel about that place.
You can see why my mom and my dad got along.
Yes.
I mean, it's very...
What a really good mix.
The thing is, those cultures aren't too... They're not that diametrically opposed, you know. Music and storytelling and having a good crack. It's always about
and the songs are all about love and war.
Yes,
exactly the same in Ireland.
And that's why I'm not sure if you're familiar with the San Patricios. There was a brigade of Irish settlers who fought on the side of the Mexican side against the United States.
Okay, and there was quite a few Irish people who led, like Bernardo O'Higgins and these people mm-hmm. who led the rebellions in Latin America. So quite proud of our Latin American conscience. I was just thinking of your parents. We have a campaign that we call the Beauty of Blend, because our whiskey is a beautiful blend, and we have a campaign talking about how nobody is 100% anything, and the beauty of blend. I mean, your parents must created a beautiful blend anyway.
Well, thank you so much. Again, John Quinn's been hanging out with us. He's the global ambassador for Tell Him or Do. Where can people find out more? Maybe follow you guys on, I'm guessing, on Instagram and such?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook at Tell Him or Do, John Quinn, global ambassador, Tell Him or Do. I'm on Twitter at Tell Him or Do JQ. Mm-hmm. And I'm on Instagram, but oh God, I have the worst handle on Instagram in the whole history of Ireland, and I'd say. So it's John_Quinn_Tullamore_Do. If you find me, you deserve
I'm gonna
to find me.
You. Well, we're going to take a selfie.
If you
I will
find me,
you
deserve to find me.
Do you have one more toast before we go?
Yeah, okay. So I suppose if another Irish toast would be raising my glass. Uh-huh. Here's to cheating, stealing, fighting and drinking. Very Irish. If you cheat, may you cheat death. If you steal, may you steal a heart. If you fight, may you fight for a brother. And if you drink, may you drink with me. Sláinte.
Sláinte. And there you have it from Tell Him or Do. Happy St. Patrick's Day. More after this. More after this. Friday nights. Typically, we cover all the big political news stories of the week, starting at about midnight, sometimes 11:30. But we did so much in politics in the first hour, and John Quinn was so charming, our friend, the global ambassador for Tell Him or Do, that I made Eric Elk and Dave Lundy wait just a tad longer. Hi, Dave. Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
Patty, I am doing fantastic.
You know, can you imagine having a job that you've been in whatever capacity, you've done what was expected of you, and maybe you've had some hit some bumps along the way, and you're about to finish up anyway, and then 48 hours before you're out the door and you're going to be able to get your pension and everything, you just get fired.
It's one of the most classless, nasty things I've seen in this administration, which doesn't.
There's so much.
I know.
It's really.
I know.
Paying
but,
off. It's worse than paying off a porn star.
Yeah. No. No. I'm. Look. I was in the middle of having a Facebook argument with one of my conservative friends. And, no, it's not Roebling. She's telling me, oh, well, he got fired because he lied. I'm like, okay. He didn't get fired because he lied. He got fired because the president has a vendetta. And if you were confused about that in any way, shape, or form, all you had to do is look at the tweet that he just sent out. The firing.
Fresh off the tweets.
Fresh off the Twitterverse. Andrew McCabe fired, all caps. A great day for the hardworking men and women of the FBI. A great day for democracy. Sanctimonious James Comey was his book. Was his boss and made McCabe look like a choir boy. He knew all about the lies and corruption going on at the highest levels of the FBI.
What?
Because Donald Trump does this all the time. He confesses even as he's trying to deflect. So he confessed this is all about Comey.
Interesting.
He threw Comey into this thing.
Yeah.
So it's like, dude, you have a guilty mind and you show it.
It makes
me crazy. This is so unfair. This guy gave 21 years defending this country. And even if he supposedly lied to the inspector general, maybe. Okay, there's some fine, there's some something. So his penalty is it's going to cost him millions of dollars. The pension he earned over 21 years, gone. Poof.
What was
he's going to sue and he's going to kick Donald's rear end.
Well, what did he allegedly lie about?
The funny part about what he supposedly lied about was whether he allowed one of his underling FBI agents to comment on a background, not for attribution, to, I believe it was the New York Times, on a story about the Clinton investigation. But the comment he gave further implicated Hillary Clinton and said that they should investigate the Clinton Foundation. So it didn't even do what it was just it's just all evil. And so what this is really all about is that after Comey got fired, while Comey was going through his stuff with Donald, he was contemporaneously telling McCabe, oh, my God, the president just asked me for a loyalty oath. Oh, my God. Here's what happened. And so he's a witness to the future Mueller investigation and probe, and that's what this is all about.
How does he help himself by firing somebody who's a witness?
He's just mad.
What do you think, Eric?
I think it's disgraceful. I think it's a totally political move that the president pulled, and I think it's somebody, you know,
Didn't Jeff Sessions lie under oath about whether or not he'd met with anybody?
Repeatedly,
yes.
So I don't understand. What? Okay.
Yeah.
Just checking, Elliot.
Well, and by the way, let's not forget that in December, on December 23rd, 2 days before Christmas, Donald Trump tweeted out a blast at Andrew McCabe and said in that only 90 days until he gets to retire with full benefits. And he's and I forgot whether he attacked him for being a liar, but I mean, he's been after this guy for a while, and they let him dangle until 24 hours. It was actually 24 hours before his retirement, and then they fired him.
Eric, is it possible that this is so that it's the look over here so we don't talk about Stormy Daniels anymore? I'm going to do something proactive so that, you know.
It's classic for this president. I mean, that's what he did throughout the whole campaign.
Yeah.
You know, every time somebody started to focus on one thing, to your point, it was like, just slam down over here and another shiny object to look at. I mean, change the focus, try to change the news story a little bit.
I have to agree. What? No?
No.
I don't even know that it's necessarily planned.
Well, he had to do it before tomorrow because then he would be allowed to retire with full benefits. But so two major stories broke tonight, Friday night, late.
What did I miss?
The other story that broke is that Michael Cohen, Donald Trump's personal lawyer, who is the one who arranged for the payment and supposedly took a home equity loan to pay off Stormy, her $130,000, filed suit in federal court against Stormy Daniels and her lawyer for $20 million, claiming that they breached the agreement. Now, mind you, and Donald Trump filed a supporting brief in the same lawsuit. And so it's like, okay, so basically what you guys have just done is you've just confirmed that everything Stormy Daniels has been saying is true.
That's been my question all day today, is that if they don't want her to go on 60 Minutes, or if they are saying that everything, any dime she ever makes because of her conversations about her relationship with Donald Trump, if they go after her, they're saying, you weren't supposed to talk about the thing that happened between the two of you.
Exactly.
That didn't happen.
Exactly.
But it did happen.
Right.
Because they're saying, don't talk about it.
Right.
The thing that we said didn't happen.
You breached the agreement.
Elliot, are you keeping up with this?
Insane.
Yeah. It's not the brightest president. And his lawyers aren't that bright either. They've been discussing the cases out and open, going to restaurants near the Washington Post and talking about things where anyone can be listening to them. So they're really not the brightest bulbs on the marquee.
Well, didn't Sarah Huckabee Sanders say that to reporters that it was already something that was decided in arbitration or something?
No, she was the one who introduced the notion that
it was already
confidential because it's all in arbitration, and she lost an arbitration ruling. And everybody was like,
wait a minute.
What?
Wait.
You just admitted that this is all true.
Exactly.
I actually think I agree with you. We are not talking about John F. Kennedy's best and brightest. You're talking about the, you know, dimmer and less ethical.
Well, and this goes back to the same question I asked last week. It doesn't seem to matter. And I know that people have talked about how. No.
It's a complete assault on rule of law.
I understand that. But there are people who think that this is worth it to get the policies that they want for the economy, for jobs. And the people are like, this is worth it. This is worth it. Even though jobs, yes, were coming back regardless over the span of the last 6 years. Right. And the economy was doing better and on track. And look, you know, as a historian, people always credit FDR with bringing us out of the Depression, when really what brought us out of the Depression was World War II.
Yeah.
And a lot of the policies that FDR used were actually Hoover, who was always remembered as being to blame for the Great Depression. So, I mean, you know, I don't know how this is going to look in the next 10, 20 years, but we can go round and round on this.
But
people are saying this is worth it. That who cares if he had an affair with Stormy Daniels? The economy's doing better. That's what people say.
No, Dave.
Friends all say that. Every time Roebling is on your Facebook page and Elliot has something to say, he's like, but he's doing 60% of what we wanted him to do, and that's worth it. The morality is not worth it anymore.
I
got to go to break. More after this on 720. So Sometimes you just got to take a commercial break, Dave Lundy. This is Patty Vasquez. I'm the host of Pretty Late. In the studio with me are Dave Lundy, Eric Elk, and Elliot Serrano. And I had to go to break before Dave Lundy could finish a thought because I was saying that none of the controversies, none of the firings, none of the alleged affairs with porn stars or paying them off, or I don't even, the list is so long, I can't even be, people, but that, is it, it, I said it doesn't matter because people who like what's happening don't care about morality. They just want the policies that they believe are working.
And I believe what I was saying was, no, what I was saying was, here's where you're wrong. You're right. You're right that it doesn't matter.
It's not unfamiliar feeling.
You're right that it doesn't matter, but it's to an increasingly smaller universe of people and more demoralized people. And you could see that in the election in Pennsylvania 18, where we took a 20-point Trump district. And by the way, the previous election, the Republican won by 27 points.
Which is Mitt Romney? Was that the
points. No, no, the Republican
seat.
Congressperson.
Okay.
And the Democrats didn't even run somebody in two consecutive elections. It was so Republican of a district. And we flipped it, and the Democrat won. I don't care whether he won by 647 votes or six votes. Bottom line is that we erased a 20-point deficit, and this has been happening all over the country. It is so bad that Scott Walker in the WGN listening area in the great state of Wisconsin is afraid to call special elections to fill two vacancies in the state legislature. He refuses to call two special elections because he knows the Democrats are going to go nuts and win the seats.
And earlier in the year, they did win one of those seats, didn't they? Not too long ago, win a special election with the Democrats.
Seat up there.
Yeah, I mean, there's terror out there. So
Wait a minute.
Eric does not seem terrified.
Come on.
Eric is a...
Eric is a brave young man.
I mean, terror. I mean...
Record Republican retirements? Yeah,
Eric,
I'd say terror.
What are the Republicans gearing up to do in a lot of these races?
Eric? What was the question again?
I believe what you were looking for was...
We have a...
focusing on Dave here.
We have a member of the Chicago Police Department who would like to chime in on the conversation. Hank, how are you doing tonight?
Doing pretty good. How are you, Betty?
Okay. What do you want to say, Hank?
Just so you know, everybody here in Chicago PD knows everything going on politically. That's how we work. I really appreciate what you guys are saying, but I want you guys to understand the NDA was never signed because Dennis Dennison doesn't exist.
Who's Dennis?
It's Stormy Daniels. It's Donald Trump's alter ego. By the way, that was one of the other things that came out in the lawsuit. He actually, the lawsuit, when Donald Trump put it out there, was Donald Trump, a.k.a. Dennis Dennison, or whatever his name was, Double D, basically confessing that he had an alias.
She probably didn't like that because she's not a Double D. So, what?
You know,
much bigger.
It was right there.
You don't sign, you can't decline.
Oh.
There you go.
There it is. All right. Thank you so much, Hank. Have a great weekend. Happy St. Patrick's
Day.
You
better take care.
Cheers.
Happy Turkey Day.
Did you say Happy Turkey Day?
My goodness.
Wow. That's,
where's that bottle?
I know. Nobody.
Somebody had some
sealed,
Telemore Dew already.
It's sealed and put away. And by the way, thank you again to our friends from Telemore Dew. They left us some sweet swag.
Sweet swag.
Sweet swag.
This is awesome.
Very cool. We do have to run to news. Thank you so much, everybody, joining the conversation. After the news, let's do a primary perspective, a little bit of a roundup. Let's see what our predictions are.
Can we talk about Daniel Biss's appeals of his property taxes?
When we come back from the news.
Because you had some comments off the air. All right.
Just one.
Okay.
Just one.
If you want to join our conversation anytime, 312-981-7200. We'll see if we can pull up the text screen for Elliot so he can do angry texts. But unless you would rather have Dave Lundy do it, or maybe you can divide them between
Ooh, angry texts.
I want to go to Dave Lundy's crazy Facebook page.
This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNradio.com. If you have a smart speaker, just say WGN Radio. Play WGN Radio and tune in. Here with your news is Roger Badish. Just whip it. It is whip it.
It's whip it good.
Whip it. How good?
Whip it good.
Eric?
So good.
We here live in the Allstate Showcase.
Stormy Daniels and Eric.
We are moving. We are, well, just with a Forbes magazine, as long as
right, the with his picture on the cover.
Did you see picture or pictorial?
Did you see the New Yorker? I think the March 26th issue of the New Yorker, someone posted it on Twitter.
I did see that, yes.
Where you're standing at the podium?
Yes, naked.
Naked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Ew.
See, this is why there's a part of me that hopes he wins the Stormy Daniels lawsuit, because I don't want to see any pictures. I don't.
Oh, yeah, that's the next thing, too. Okay, that's a whole conversation. Well, not a whole. Maybe
or
just,
video.
Right.
Or
she might have texts or
sexting.
Pictures or...
Well, Anthony Weiner was bad enough, but I didn't know.
Can people just stop taking pictures? Ooh. Just assume that we're going to see it all. Assume that we're all going to see it all. I don't know.
If you're doing something, why do you guys start taking pictures of it?
I have no idea.
I don't get that.
Well, Eric, when you're proud of it. Oh, never mind.
Oh, dear.
Memento, you know? I mean, you're sitting there.
Finally look back
mementos?
On that. Yeah. That one time.
Yeah.
You know, Eric, sometimes you must whip it.
Whip it good.
Oh, man. Okay, so let's move on to Illinois politics. And the primaries are coming up. March 20th is voting day, but many people have already voted in early voting. I don't know why I get so geeked out about voting. I just always have. My son came with me, and we went over a lot of them. You got to do your research on judges, whether it's from the Illinois Bar Association or, you know, there's a lot of different places you can go if you're confused about judges, whether they are not rated at all or highly qualified, all those things. What sources do you go to, Dave?
I use the CBA, but usually
Bar Association.
The Chicago Bar Association. And I am a recovering lawyer. But usually what I do is I actually look for the there's a page that's printed up in the papers. Sometimes I saw one on Friday, and Tribune does the same thing. And it shows what each of the bar associations, how they rank the judges. And I typically will, if any bar association has a major objection to a judge, I won't vote for that judge.
Okay. And judges, you know, we kind of write that off as like non-essential or
it's
not important.
Important.
They're really important. They just are. Wait till you're in front of a judge and you're like, wow, who let this person be on the bench?
And I am just as geeked about voting. Everybody asks me, well, why don't you vote early? And it's because it's a family ritual. On election day, mm-hmm. we get up a little early, we take the kids over to the village hall, and we go vote. And it's like it's a family thing. I think it's important to teach your kids the value of citizenship and the value of voting.
Okay.
And so we do that, and I love it.
I took Griffin with as well. I just said my husband wanted to make sure I got it done early because I do have to. I have two jobs during the day on Tuesday. I have two other gigs, so you know you don't want anything to conflict with that. Eric, do you vote early? Because some people told me
I did.
You did. Some people say that they vote early because they want to make sure that there aren't any last minute indictments.
which primary do you vote in, Eric?
The one that's coming up March 20th.
Oh, okay. And you voted for Jeannie Ives, I assume?
Oh.
Wow. You should never assume, Dave.
Well, if we're going to go right to the top of the ticket, I mean, there are a lot of people talking tonight about, in the last few weeks, you know, the story that came out. I guess, Elliot, someone was correcting me that the story about J.B. Pritzker came out in the Tribune.
Tribune.
About offshore investments. And man, did he have to spend a lot of time on that during the debate on WTTW.
It was pretty. I was there. Yeah. It was pretty ridiculous that Phil Ponce spent 18 minutes,
really
a third
surprised.
Of the debate,
Eric,
on that.
What do you think?
I think he's very trusting.
What,
JB?
Trusting or trustworthy or trustful or which trusting? Trusting means that he trusts
he's other
people. Trusted.
Yes.
Wow, we're going a lot of
nice.
Different directions.
Oh, I get it. He's trying to make a double
on trust.
Trust.
He's trusted.
Oh,
I see.
Oh, yeah. Okay, fine.
Well, the thing is that people are saying if this is just the story during the primary, imagine what's out there, what someone's going to unload during the general election.
Okay, but that story was confused. The story didn't make a lot of sense. The Tribune threw all kinds of nasty innuendo in there, like saying, we consulted a money laundering expert. I'm like, Really, guys? A money laundering expert? Is there any suggestion that there's any money laundering? No. And they didn't really understand it, so they wrote a really nasty story that people took out of it what they wanted. And Phil spent 18 minutes on it in the debate. And
it was, but that's what's going to be like. I mean, and look, I'm sure that JB has whatever thick skin to weather that. It's whether or not the party that wants to get him into office is ready for the next 7 months of that.
If it's Daniel, it's going to be all Madigan all the time. If it's Kennedy, it's the property taxes. The thing is, politics is like sports. It's all about the matchups, right? So the things that are maybe relevant in a primary are not going to be as relevant in the general election. So how is the governor, who's got offshore trusts and offshore accounts and has done a whole variety of things, how's he going to attack JB for that?
Well, right. If it's Rauner and JB, good luck with that. Because, right, Rauner had, I mean, there were a lot of things about senior housing and care that he profits
and nursing
off.
Homes exactly. And yeah, no, he killed people in his nursing
homes. Well,
let's homes.
Not.
Sorry,
come
he
on.
Didn't.
Yeah,
kill.
That's not.
No, fine. He didn't kill people in his nursing homes. He simply stripped the nursing homes of resources to deal with it, and people died. They're kind of like in Quincy.
No. Maybe the corporate level of the companies that own some of the nursing homes, but he didn't kill anyone, Dave. Come on, that's going a little too far.
No, his nursing homes did.
I did see there's so much eye rolling inside.
You guys want to come at us? You guys want to come at us? There's plenty of stuff to go back at Bruce Rauner over. And oh, by the way, what we're really going to go after Bruce Rauner, and when I say we, I'm not talking about JB. I said what the Democrats are really going to go after Bruce Rauner on is his record. And his record is
his record of
abysmal.
Standing up to Mike Madigan and JB can't.
So how will the standing up as we've seen
yeah, how
the results of it
did that work out?
What's going to change fundamentally in the next term? Should Rauner win again? I mean, how will it be different? So is it going to be is the standing up to Madigan mean another budget impasse for another 3.5 years?
It very well may. I mean, you know, there are things that I think that you know the governor tried to advance. The speaker, as Jeannie Ives says, you know, is very powerful.
Has he mentioned anything about the fact that when he has sits down with some of the leaders on both sides of the aisle and says one thing and then runs out in front of a bank of microphones and says something else entirely, which because in that building, the way I understand it is that your word is your bond. And I saw many times when people would come out of meetings thinking one thing and then within moments realize, oh, he's going to go ahead and just blast us in a different way. I know he's not going to address that because it's just the word of the legislators that he met with, but that seems to be the trend of what happened over the last 3 years.
Yeah, I'm sure that's very problematic. I mean, I think that your word is your bond, not only in that building but anywhere. So yeah, I mean, if that's happening, that's
problematic.
Really going to be very problematic
for
yeah.
all of us.
I mean, look, the governor loves to what's the word I'm looking for? Lie. And he does it with reckless abandon.
They all
and,
do.
Yeah, oh, no. Not
so
like
wait
this.
Wait a second.
Bruce Rauner has gotten more pants on fire rating. He lied about his grandparents. My God. He said his grandfather was from Sweden and didn't speak English when he came to this country. And his grandfather was born in Wisconsin and spoke English as good as anybody from Wisconsin, apparently.
That was a strange one. That was strange. This is what he does. That was a weird thing right there. Yes, Eric, before we go to the break, just give you
defend
a heads up.
The Swedes. Come on, man.
Hey, those are my people.
Exactly.
Well, I think a lot of Republicans felt betrayed by Governor Rauner when he signed HB 40 into legislation.
Yeah, but look.
Which
folks,
is the abortion bill.
He lied to the cardinal.
Yeah, but folks knew his position on this issue.
No.
He went back and forth.
He ran as a pro-choice guy.
Yes, and he then told
Sometimes.
His caucus that he
no,
was going
he
to
was
veto
very clear
HB
on that.
40.
I mean, there was ads in the
He said he was going to veto HB 40. He told the cardinal he was going to veto HB 40.
So
he
you
lied.
Think, okay, I wasn't in that. I wasn't there for those meetings. I don't know what was said, so I can't comment on that.
Wait, so you're saying he lied to God? Because when you're like when you lie to a cardinal, you're pretty much lying to God.
Whenever you lie, aren't you lying to God? Because God's
That's
everywhere.
Like
God's around us.
Lying to God's secretary.
Oh, a little bit.
You know,
I don't know if the cardinal wants to be the secretary.
By the way,
I think he prefers ambassador.
Administrative assistant, is that the term?
I think ambassador.
By the way, I like when Eric finds his inner Republican.
He's a Republican. No, we've said that before. Just because he has criticism of the President of the United States, who is allegedly a Republican, doesn't mean that this qualifies you as a Republican. You don't lose your Republican card, do you, Eric, by criticizing the President?
Yeah, you do.
They took the card away.
Become a rhino at that point.
Oh,
that's okay.
Is there a noise that a rhino makes? Let me figure out. Let me make sure during the break if there's a noise a rhino makes. The Illinois primary season is wrapping up. Thank God. I can't.
Although, thank God.
Yeah, but it's going to be the general, and we're going to be going. We're just slogging it out.
Did you see what Bruce Rauner said this week? He said a couple of really amazing comments this week.
Define amazing.
For Bruce. Okay. On Thursday, he said he was spending 100% of his time thinking about how to defeat Mike Madigan and J.B. Pritzker.
Oh,
100%.
So he's already called a winner in the
0%
race.
0% in governing. 100% of his time on how he's going to defeat J.B. Pritzker and Mike Madigan. Mm-hmm. And on Wednesday, and by the way, this wasn't like a private conversation somebody leaked. He said this on the radio, he said that in a press conference. On Wednesday, on a radio station in downstate, he said that he's going to crush JB. He's going to destroy JB. He can't wait to absolutely demolish JB. I mean, he just went on and on and on.
So he's already...
He sounded like Nikita Khrushchev. We will bury you. Drago. Ivan Drago in the Rocky movies.
I will break him.
Sounds as though Rauner already decided who's going to win the race.
Rauner decided that a year and a half ago. I mean, just to put in perspective, when the first story came out in the Sun-Times right after the November elections of 2016 that said J.B. Pritzker has been approached by some folks about running for governor, within 2 weeks of that, there were three negative press releases put out by Bruce Rauner against J.B.
And they had to do with property taxes, too, didn't they? The property tax thing started pretty early.
Well, no, property tax thing happened like mid-2017.
Oh. Yes, Eric?
Yes, Eric? You mean on the mansion that Biss stood in front of? Or?
Yes, that would be the mansion that Biss stood in front of, correct.
Yes. Oh, dear. By the way,
thank you for that,
Senator Biss mentioned that he has never challenged his property taxes. Yeah. Now, I know that you want to say something about how that doesn't make him very smart, I guess. Or does it? I mean, I
don't understand why you use that as a positive.
I think it's
50,000 people in Cook County challenge the property taxes every year.
Well, and he means it, and that he feels that he can, if that's what it is, that he can afford it. If he feels that he's paying his share, maybe he feels. I can't answer that. I know that the people who own my property have challenged their property taxes. I know that when I felt my taxes, I probably could get more, but I was kind of like, this seems about right. So maybe he's like me, where he's like, this seems about right. I can weather this. I wish I wasn't spending as much, but this is what it means to pay my taxes, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I challenged my property taxes. I didn't challenge them for many years, and I started challenging them when they went up 1 year by 40%.
Okay.
And I'm like, whoa, this isn't right. And so we started challenging them, and they went back down, and then they went up, and then they went back down. And it's a game. And as the study came out this week, just yesterday, another study about Joe Berrios and the Cook County Assessor's Office, and it talked about how unfair the assessor's system is and how broken the system is. And I agree, so why shouldn't I appeal my property taxes if we have a broken system?
Well, I guess part of it is that not everybody has enough money or wherewithal, I guess, is part of what
there's
maybe.
No wherewithal. Property tax appeals are contingent.
Don't cost anything. You can just
it's all contingency.
Send an application. Yes, Eric?
No.
I thought Eric's drawing breath. Let's go to a listener who has a question. Myrna, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I just wanted to mention that since you're talking about the property taxes, there were three candidates. One was removed temporarily, Andrea Rayla. and she has been reinstated. So for those who haven't voted yet and were thinking of voting for her, she's back on the ballot. So it's not just Berrios nor Kagi. They now have Rayla to choose from as an assessor for Cook County.
And a lot of people who went in and voted earlier this week received a slip of paper that told them whose names. I wonder how many people mm-hmm. actually looked at those to see what that even said. Because if you went to the ballot, you could still vote for Andrea Rayla. And mm-hmm. and at the time, you know, because the decision was handed down by the appellate court, I think, on Wednesday, anyone who voted for her, for Rayla before, at any point, their vote will now count.
Correct.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, but look, that whole thing was really messed up. I don't know what happened this year. I mean, I don't think there are any more appeals than there normally are, but there were several races, with this being probably the highest profile race, where the person was removed from the ballot, then they were put back on the ballot. Scott Drury also removed from the ballot, put back on the
That's
ballot.
Right.
And this was the only one where they were removed from the ballot, but their name was left on the ballot. It's seriously messed up, and if you're any of those candidates, you got to be frustrated. I will tell you, and I don't mean any disrespect to anybody, having her back on the ballot and having those votes count.
You think will only help Joe Berrios?
Only helps Joe Berrios.
Interesting.
Because she has not been able to campaign in the way that she would have had she not had to fight that and had she been on the ballot. So she's going to have a much smaller chance to win. Fritz Kagi had a bigger chance to win when it was one-on-one. Now that it's two-on-one, that's exactly what Joe Berrios wants.
Interesting.
Explain to me, Dave, the whole deal with Fritz Kagi and the NRA attack ad against him.
Oh, my God.
And how that's relevant with the Cook County Assessor.
So he's taking advantage of a situation? Jumping on a moment?
No, everybody knows that the Assessor of Cook County is the most important gun control person. It's like the sheriff, only it's the assessor. Oh, it's ridiculous. It's breathtakingly stupid and offensive. It's almost as offensive as claiming Jeannie Ives is a Madigan Republican.
Oh, it's so weird.
But it has nothing to do with it. Fritz Kagi ran an investment fund. One of the companies that he invested in later went on to give donations to the NRA. So it's not that he invested in a company that made guns or bullets or anything. It's literally he invested in a company, and then that company later made political donations.
It's a good – I thought it was a good ad.
It's a good ad. It's wildly disingenuous,
so
just like the Madigan one.
Myrna, are you about done with this political season, or do you get kind of jazzed up with you know, the possibilities of being able to get in there and vote for somebody that maybe inspires you?
I'm voting. I have only missed one in my 30 some years of voting. I wish we had a split ballot like we did years ago, where
right.
you could pick from both parties. But I have been checking, doing a lot of research, a lot of homework. This is too much of a risk that we're all taking on these candidates for the governor position. And also for the commissioner, or I'm sorry, the county assessor position.
Right.
Too much is at stake for people to not vote, and I can't encourage people enough to do it. And that's why I'm going Tuesday. I didn't want to go out early. I was afraid that something might happen and one of my candidates would be pulled off the ballot. So I'm waiting till Tuesday, aside from the fact that I'm working as a judge on Tuesday, too. So
okay.
It's convenient for me. So, people need to do a lot of homework on these candidates.
But it's important homework, and I guess that's why people don't like it, I guess. They feel like, or they're disenchanted by it. By the way, politics isn't supposed to enchant you. It's about your civil obligation to yourself and to others around you. It's not magic.
You know, it's the cynicism that's been bred in this country for decades and decades and decades, that voting doesn't matter, that politics doesn't matter, and it matters a lot.
Thank you so much, Myrna. Have a great night. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, bye-bye. More after this on 720 WGN. Usually at this time of night on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, we read a scene from a movie that we love and try to get you to guess what it is. But I couldn't, Dave Lundy, I could not find a good scene from an Irish movie for St. Patrick's Day.
I find that amazing.
Well, none that are available online. Stop it. Are you saying there's no good Irish
that
movies?
That was the closest I can come to an Irish
act. Good.
Was that not bad?
It
was good because it was short. So you couldn't really hear how bad it was.
Right. We actually had an Irishman on the air earlier.
His Irish accent was better.
It was so very, very much better. 312-981-7200. We've added a voice in the studio. If you can tell us who that is speaking into the microphone right now. Hello, sir. How are you doing tonight?
Dean Richards will be talking.
That is not
movies.
Dean Richards. 312-981-7200. What regular WGN radio host
who's
has joined
that
us?
From?
Who's that voice? 312-981-7200 in place of what's that from? Who's that? We're just going to play Who's
Victory
That?
Auto Records.
312-981-7200. Who has mysteriously joined us on the air tonight? You can win a gift card to Apt Electronics and say hi to Steve Shapiro.
I'm a prize?
You're a prize,
wow,
my friend.
Wow, dude.
I've been a prop before, but never a prize.
I'm jealous. That is serious.
I'm sinking down to another octave.
Elliot, aren't you curious to see what guesses people have for the voice that's joined us in studio?
Well, see, I would have said Dean Richards, but there we go.
I feel like we should give him something to read so that they at least have a chance to... You know what? We'll try. I should have printed up a script of something so that at least you have like a monologue. Thought of it. Yes.
The challenge
312-981-7200 is our phone number.
See, the challenge here, though, is that the people who are listening to your show are probably not up
when he's on.
Exactly.
Yes. Which is bothersome because when he has his show,
by the way,
he had a guest on this week who canceled on my show not to be on your show, but she had canceled the week before mine. So I made her get on the phone with me. Representative Anna Moeller was on your show. That's a good. I don't mind giving hints.
Yeah.
She was on your show, but she had canceled my show the week before.
Well, but.
I understand.
Anna and I, we know how to work this thing. And
I'm on late at night and you're not.
Although I can't imagine why she wouldn't be on. She's a very good guest.
She was a great guest. We had her on the phone earlier in the week. Yes.
Besides, for some of us, this hour is way more accessible than his hour.
Oh, trust me. Trust me. Last Sunday with the time change, there's a, do that. Because I get up at 3.
Right.
So I was getting up at 2.
Well, in fact, on Meet the Press, Steve Mnuchin was on.
Are you talking about Sleepy-Eyed Chuck Todd?
Sleepy-Eyed Chuck Todd. Yeah. Steve Mnuchin, a.k.a. Dr. Evil, on. And he was from L.A.
So
it was L.A. time, and he lost an hour. So for him, it was like, 2 in the morning.
So 312-981-7200.
So he was just getting back from the party.
Exactly.
Here, mystery guest. I forgot to read this earlier, so can you read that for me, my live read? You know how to do those.
Yeah, I can't actually. No, I had to look because technically I can't do live reads.
I do outside. Really? Really?
Yes. I can do this.
This one. It's an internal
because
one.
Because it's an internal live read, which no one has a clue what we're talking about.
312-981-7200. Who is this mystery voice?
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's best at 10 p.m., then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago at 10:30 p.m. on WGN TV.
That's so good. I just got goosebumps.
He reads? He writes?
Yes. Ooh, you're giving away too many
clue.
Hints.
He speaks?
I know.
What are you giving away?
And a gift card to Apt Electronics.
Somebody's going to be $50 richer because of you.
Here's the thing, though. I have a couple prizes to give away because my prize closet is quite full right now.
Really?
So I'm going to...
Wait, see, you have a prize closet.
I do have a prize closet, yes.
I got nothing.
Brimming. It's brimming.
Nothing.
I'm sorry about that.
I got to work on this.
I'll give you some of my prizes for my prize closet if you'd like.
Sure.
Let's see. Let's get our first caller. Henry, you would like to guess who is our mystery guest?
Rick Pearson.
Thank you for listening.
Now, by the way, none of our other listeners hang up. Jasmine and Kathy, do not hang up.
Ooh,
okay?
Jasmine's on?
Jasmine's on hold. That's why I'm saying Kathy, don't hang up. Jasmine, don't hang up. Henry, do you get a chance to listen to the Sunday Spin every Sunday morning from 8 a.m.?
7 a.m.
I've heard it both ways. from 7
Time change. Time change. Yeah, time change.
Every Sunday that I'm up.
Every Sunday that you're up?
Thank you so much.
It's a good show.
I hope you're up early, often. I appreciate it.
We always catch it.
All right, well, hold on the line, and Curtis will get your information so we can send out a gift card.
And maybe we can split the pot here.
To Apt Electronics.
Yeah, no, I've tried. It doesn't work.
No, okay.
Now, Kathy, did you know who that was?
Yeah, I said Rick Pearson. I listen to him every Sunday at 7 a.m.
Listen to him every
Thank
Sunday?
Thank you so much, Kathy. I appreciate that.
Rick, do you take calls on your show?
Yes, I do.
You do? So these are two listeners from your show. So far, they've both won prizes.
But I will also tell you, they're calling you. I don't get a lot of calls because
You know why? It's 7 o'clock Sunday morning.
No, that's not it. I just don't. I think people we try to do the show where it's a listening and guest conversational right. show. And sometimes people, it's not like your cable fest kind of right. stuff.
Yeah.
And I think people don't necessarily want to gauge. They want to listen to see what the guest has to say.
Well, there you go. Kathy, I have a gift for you because you listen to both my show and Rick Pearson's show.
I feel better. Now you're giving away.
I'm encouraging people to listen to your show.
Yes,
if they had known who you were, they would have won prizes.
Right.
You, Kathy, have won a desktop indoor weather station. Ooh. Brought to you by American Weather Makers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
How cool.
Yeah, that sounds
Thank
nice.
You very much.
My pleasure. Hold on the line, and my producer
Kathy.
Will get your information. And by the way, that was for Kathy. Henry had won a gift card to Apt Electronics, pleasing people since 1936. Visit their store in Glenview or online at abt.com. Jasmine, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Excellent. Now, did you know that was Rick Pearson?
I was actually going to say John Williams.
Oh, interesting.
John Williams.
Yes, wow. I could see you sounding like John Williams.
Oh, I don't think so.
So many summer breaks, last year listening to WGN radio during the day.
Uh-huh.
So I thought it was his voice. I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry at all.
No, not all good voices.
So, Jasmine, this is actually good that you're calling right now because, and Rick Pearson is joining us in the studio as well as our panel. You are doing something very special on Monday. Tell us what you're doing on Monday.
I will be registering to vote.
Yes.
For the very first time.
Very good.
We're really excited. Now, do you have any questions for anybody in the studio about the upcoming election? Because I consider these guys to be, well, I consider Rick to be an expert and the other ones to have an opinion.
I love that.
That includes me. I have an opinion.
Well, you have an opinion. Yes.
I have an opinion. Yes. Rick is the expert. So what would you like to, is there anything you want to ask about this election?
Well, I mean, I have been talking to my grandmother about it, so I'm a little bit more informed than last week.
Okay.
I would also, when I was talking to my teacher today, she was saying, you know, I have to vote for what I believe will impact, you know, my or my family situation. You know, it's mostly a personal opinion thing.
Well, and quite frankly, that's the big driver in any vote is personal pocketbook kind of issues.
Yeah.
Or
future kind of issues, whether it's like education or, and I guess pocketbook is that the biggest one? Pocketbook?
I mean, it kind of depends on when, because, you know, you look at times in this country where the economy's in real trouble, then it's always pocketbook. Then it's, as James Carville said, it's the economy, stupid. But when you look at times where times are good, oftentimes it goes to values. It goes to other things. You look at 1988 and
sure.
Michael Dukakis. That was an election about the Pledge of Allegiance and being a card-carrying member.
But we're at a time now where you could argue the economy is
right.
good.
Well, now, Jasmine,
but at the same time, we're at a time of this great economic inequity
right.
that exists.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
And that's, I think, going to be a very significant driver.
Now, Jasmine, right. in the past you told me that you can't accept one of my gift cards because then your grandmother will know you're listening to my show in the middle of the night.
Now that I've gone to your New Year's party, you know, she looked you up online.
Yes.
So I don't know if she'll, maybe I can DM you. Give you my address or something.
Okay, so I will. So you have won a gift card for Lou Malnati's Pizza, though.
Whoa.
So I think if you're sharing that with your mom, yeah.
Yeah.
So DM
that's classic Chicago pizza.
Exactly. Oh, finally,
wow.
The Jasmine Yay. Pizza.
Yay.
Lou
yes.
Malnati's.
And Patty, I have something really exciting to share.
Yes, please tell me.
I don't know if you've gotten Periscope yet, but later on today, I'll be doing my 100th broadcast from the river as it's being dyed green.
Oh, is that
awesome.
Cool? Oh, I'm so glad to hear that, Jasmine. I will try to download that. I think once you post the video, I can watch it on Twitter. I won't be able to watch it live, but I think I can watch the rebroadcast on Twitter.
Yeah, I'll be like watching all the boats and watching the river turn green.
Cool.
I love it.
Hey, Jasmine, you're not going to broadcast when you go vote, right? Because
no.
Okay, good. Because I don't think you're allowed to do that. But I have to tell you, because you know, we obviously talk to you a lot on Patty's show. We're very excited about your first vote.
Yes.
We think it's
congratulations.
So awesome.
Yes. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'll try to listen to what was his name, Rick Pearson's show more often.
Yes, on Sunday mornings.
The podcast. You can do the podcast so you don't have to get up early on Sunday. You can
about a lot of politics, so that could be helpful.
I would hope it would be for you.
Hey, Rick, who's your guest this Sunday?
Well, this Sunday I have Hal Dardick, who is my colleague at the Tribune, who's been covering the Cook County assessor's race, which what's an
crazy
assessor
we
and
were
what's
just
going
talking
on.
About
but
yeah.
Yes, but obviously this is very heated. And then I have my former Tribune colleague, Bob Sector from the Better Government Association, and Chris Mooney from the University of Illinois. We're going to do an hour roundtable where we're going to talk about all the races, take all the phone calls for any questions anybody has.
There you go, Jasmine. Yeah, tune in on Sunday morning from 7 to 9. And if you miss it, it's all available on podcast.
All right, I'll try to check that out.
All right.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you, Jasmine.
And happy St. Patrick's Day to everyone.
Yay, happy St. Patrick's Day, Jasmine. Have a great night. Have a great time at the parade.
I hope you, are you going?
I'm probably not. I was going to.
Why aren't you going,
okay,
Patty?
I'll tell you off the air. Thank you, Jasmine. Have a good night.
Have a good day, everyone.
Be well,
you
Jasmine.
Too.
Yay. More after this on 720. On 720 WGN. Before we get into Tell Me Something Good, can I, Dave Lundy just asked me if we would do Tell Me Something Good. Rick, every night we end the show with going around the horn and we tell each other something that's good in listeners too, something that makes you happy, something you're celebrating. Rick does not seem like he's celebrating anything. So that's why, but you know
you
what?
He just shot his dog. The look on his face, like, oh my God, I got to come up with something good.
No, you don't have to. Rick, we will eat up the time before I can get to you. How's that? And we're not going to do it yet because I went to Toys R Us. Can I tell you how I went to Toys
R Us? Oh, that's sad.
I'm saying, I said I was going to start sadly first.
That's
so
sad.
I went to Toys R Us. Curtis, did you grow up on going shopping at Toys R Us with your parents?
Oh, yes. Yep.
It was always the most exciting thing was we're going to go to Toys R Us. And even my boys, it was exciting to go to Toys R Us, but clearly fewer and fewer of us were doing that. Although I did not realize, having done some research today on Toys R Us, you know, they originally had an exclusive deal with Amazon back in 2000 to be the exclusive toy and baby supplier for Amazon when early on. But then Amazon developed a relationship with Target, and Toys R Us was like, hey, wait a minute, what about our thing? And they had to sue to get out of it. And then that's about when Bain Capital and Vornado and a couple other places took them on and used them as leverage for other sort of debt stuff and things that I don't quite understand. And now we don't have Toys R Us anymore.
Yeah, they over levered Toys R Us.
Yes.
Too much debt.
So there it is. So most of us, we're not going shopping there anymore. Elliot, did you want anything? Nothing's, by the way, I talked to an employee. They're still going to be there probably all the way through May. Nothing's on sale yet.
Oh, well, I want the giant land speeder.
The giant land speeder?
The giant land speeder.
Yeah, you know, like when those kid cars, you can get like a Jeep or a Mustang or whatever, they have land speeders. Yes. So there you go. So the clearance has not started at Toys R Us yet, but it was packed. Curtis, you plan on going to Toys R Us before they close?
Possibly. I'm not quite sure yet.
You seem committed to it. You seem really, really committed to it.
I think I'm a little bit too old for Toys R Us.
Legos.
But you're never too Legos. Old for Toys R Us.
Legos.
Board games?
Yes.
I was looking at board games today. Like, get your battleship, Eric. Are you
that would be good.
Yeah.
Get some board games.
Yes, I want to wait till they go on battleship.
Sale. That's all there is to it. Now, Dave, you seemed very excited to tell us something good. What's your something good?
Well, tonight was opening night for Eli's performance as the genie in Aladdin.
Yay! Wow. And there was concern because he was not feeling well.
So last weekend, Eli got the flu.
Oh.
And we were in the doctor's office, I think, on Sunday or Monday. And he was crying because he was envisioning. This is his first ever show he had tried out for. And he could not wait to do this. And he was like, oh, my God, this is the worst day timing ever. And I said, no, buddy, it's not. The worst timing is if you got hit on Thursday night.
Sure.
You might recover in time. And he did.
Yes.
So
I'm so glad to hear
and
that.
He was spectacular. He Fantastic. Was just so awesome.
Congratulations.
That's awesome.
So, congratulations to him. I know. I'm trying to think of my something good.
And that the election's going to be over in less than 4 days.
But it's not. If it was, you know what? If the that primary. Was true, then Rick Pearson would tell us something good, which is that the primary is going to be over.
That is it my is? Something good.
That's it?
Is March 21st.
But when does it gear up again? I mean, like the day after.
March 20th and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So you get when 15. As soon as we cross into March 21st, 15 minutes after midnight, we're back All into right. it again.
Where does a Rick Pearson hunker down for a primary night?
I will be here in Historic Tribune Tower for my last election night here at Tribune
oh,
Tower.
Oh, that's right.
And I will be anchoring the governor's races here for the final time that a governor's race will have been at Tribune Tower.
How weird. That's sort of, I feel a little forlorn about that now that we mentioned it.
Makes me sad.
I know. Well, it's still good. It's on, because we tell the truth, we kind of got to get out of this building.
You know.
I know, you've been here for a long time, but I'm saying that they're making it easy for us to go.
Yeah, when they're jackhammering on the floor below me
That's
last
I mean.
Night and
yeah.
that kind of thing. But yes, they're encouraging us to go.
Yeah.
And frankly, when Johnny Six Note, the saxophonist outside on my, outside when I go out to just get a breather at the Tree of Knowledge, mm-hmm. as I call the planter, and there's Johnny Six Note, who is this saxophonist who apparently bathes in the Chicago River, which will be interesting this weekend if he does so.
Yeah, that's at least
not
a
easy being
but,
green.
No. But all he can play is six notes.
Oh,
and then he has to take a breath. And it's pretty exasperating.
Elliot, you know, my something good is that you're back. We haven't seen each other for a couple of weeks.
We have not. Yes, it's good to be back.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Although a texter wants to ask Rick, I have never heard you ask for callers.
Absolutely.
Oh,
I start out the show.
Yeah, that's what they're saying there. So maybe that's why you should ask.
Well, then I will make a point.
That's what the texter's saying.
Okay.
That's
if that's the point, I will.
But
if you know how to text, you can call because it's the same phone number.
Same phone number.
Did we get a lot of angry texts tonight, Elliot?
No, actually, we had a lot of very nice texts. People
really?
Were actually quite positive for the most part. I said,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Although, we didn't do something right tonight.
Really. I mean, there are people talking about the importance of voting. Hi, Pout Patty. I like to vote, too. Think that your show is great. Also think that voting is important. Have a good night.
Oh, thank you very much. Have a good night to you, too.
But when we couldn't come up with a scene for
What's That From?
Patty, come on. The Quiet Man with John Wayne.
You think I wasn't desperately looking for It's Not Available Online, my friend. So here's the thing when it comes to scripts. Some scripts are not available in a lot of the websites. And Roger will affirm this.
Oh, yeah.
It's really hard. That was I looked for The Quiet Man, Miller's mm-hmm. Crossing. I was looking for The Commitments. I was looking for a bunch of Irish movies.
You know what we should have done?
How about Newt Rockne?
I don't know. It's probably not available. Darby O'Gill and the Little People.
There you go.
Let's go to a break. That's more to this. I'm kidding, Roger. More to this at 720 WGN. Hey, Matt Bubala.
Hey, Patty Vasquez.
Hi. So we're in the same building, but we're...
I know. I miss you. You never talk to me anymore. Now you're doing Crosstalk with Sunday morning shows.
I know. Isn't that amazing? The guys can't hear you. Oh, that's so weird. Oh, well, I can hear you.
That's all that matters.
That's all that matters to anybody.
Care about them.
We can hear Matt Bubala. I'm so sorry. He's jealous of me because I'm doing Crosstalk with the Sunday morning show and not with him.
Just skipping right over
We're
me, skipping ahead all day.
That's right, just moving
here.
Ahead. That's all. Yeah. What do you got coming up on your show, my friend?
We're going to talk with Joy Press. She wrote a fascinating book about how women have taken over television and the way they've changed the face of it in the last 20, 30 years. And then we're going to talk a lot about, you know, everything else that's going on in the world. And, you know, I was listening to you guys on the way in, and you guys were talking a little bit about how, you know, they filed this federal lawsuit and against Stormy to try to move where the lawsuit takes place, but also threatening her with like $20 million, saying she violated The funny thing is, that's really just to try to shut her up, right? To intimidate her and to bully her, say, oh, we're going to take $20 million for her. Don't you think that with the way things are right now, if she started a GoFundMe, like people would come up with $20 million, like, 2 seconds.
I agree.
Like, well, you owe $20 million. Okay, here it is. Now I'm going to talk. And they're like, oh, wait.
Well, they're asking for $20 million. So for the guys in the studio who can't hear you say that, there would probably be a GoFundMe campaign for Stormy Daniels if they were like, we owe us $20 million. But the thing is that they could also say that every single dime that she ever makes off of talking about her relationship with Donald Trump. So I don't know how you continuously raise. I don't know.
Well, the agreement says for every violation, you owe $1 million.
Right.
And so part of the argument is going to be how do you define a violation? Yeah. Is the 60 minutes interview one violation or is it multiple violations?
Right. So.
Well, where do you see it? Where do the guys see it turning out that they're suing that the agreement is invalid?
Where do you guys see this going with the agreement being invalid, that lawsuit? Do you think that she'll win in that sense?
I think there's a very valid issue about the fact that he did not sign the document. And I'm no lawyer, but what I've learned in 30 years is you don't have to be a lawyer. Right. There are some common sense things here, and there is a space on the document for that signature to make it valid, and it's not there.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the question is, did Michael Cohen have his power of attorney to sign this document, or does he have a blanket power of attorney for Donald Trump? I doubt it. But if he did, then it's valid. Then
and
Trump doesn't
quite frankly, if he has a valid power of attorney for Donald Trump,
oh yeah,
he could be worth a ton of money.
Absolutely.
You know,
or in a lot of debt.
Or in a lot of debt. Sorry, I have to repeat everything that Matt says because otherwise my guests in the studio can't hear it.
but the other thing is, though, is they gave her the money. So isn't that kind of like...
She's giving it back.
She's offered.
Well, she's offered.
Yeah. Wow,
trust me, she can give it back.
Oh, she can, at this point,
the lawyer
sure.
can give it back. Yes.
Could you imagine the book?
Let me.
How about the video?
No video.
Let me turn the show over to you, Matt.
They'll just keep going upstairs. And if anybody wants to drop by the Tribune Tower and visit, they'll be there for the next hour and a half talking about that.
Exactly.
Patty, thank you so much. It's good to talk to you again, and hopefully I'll see you soon.
I will hopefully see you soon as well. Have a great weekend. Happy St. Patrick's Day, Matt.
You too.
This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago. If you have a smart speaker, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Roger, I was only teasing earlier. I'm sorry.
I know you were teasing.
All right. Thank you.
I know you
I'll
were.
Come and give you a hug before I go.
I like that. Here I like you. A St. Patrick's Day hug from you.
Exactly. Here with your news is Roger Battish.